श्रीला गुरुदेव की जय, श्री महाप्रभु की जय, श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय, श्री श्री दौजी गोपाल जी की जय, ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय, श्री वेणुगीत की जय, गौर भक्त वृंद की जय, गौर प्रमान। सो वेलकम all of you again, good evening, and thanks for coming. To all of you also there connected via online, thank you so much for your association. As Lord Chandra will say, glorious devotees. I really like that address, all glorious devotees. Realize you are really glorious. We are glorious. I mean, not in a proud way, but by good fortune. Glory has knocked on our door, so we have the opportunity of how to say, mixing our existence with Harikatha, mixing our, if you will, Tatastha constitution, exposing our nature towards a higher influence, a higher nature, Swarup Shakti, Bhakti Shakti coming in the form of the divine discourse, revealed message. So here we are, trying to honor and take proper advantage of that. So, class today, number what? 7? 18? 18? Okay. So, we are seeing today verse number 16. We are starting the last quarter, if you will, of the Venu Gita. Since the chapter consists of 20 verses. So today we are starting the last quarter, verse 16 till 20. So let's make some brief recap of what we studied last evening. We studied the second part of the 15th verse, if you remember, which was this verse where the rivers are the main character of the shloka, here in the flute song, and in their minds, because the river have minds in Vrindavan, in their minds wanting to join Krishna. And again, especially the minds of the gopis, their minds being projected to the whole environment. And by the effect of the flute, again, they start to create whirlpools, they start to break their current and flow in the opposite direction, not joining their husbands, the oceans, and the gopis projecting the whole, their own parakya reality. And expressing their divine agitation by way again of whirlpools, and with the arms of their waves, Bhuja, embracing the feet of Krishna, holding on to them, and finally presenting offerings of lotus flowers. To Mukunda Murari, those two names of Krishna were mentioned in this verse. So in the first part, I will make a recap of that, but we explain, among other things, the name Mukunda, and we started yesterday's class by explaining the name Murari, which has, as usual, many layers of possibilities. Started with a very general idea, Krishna killing, remember, the demon Mura, who had the blessing of whoever he touched, his, her chest, will collapse, and so on. And in that connection, the gopis connect Narayan, because actually Vishnu was the one who killed Mura, not Krishna. But Gargacharya say that Krishna will inherit, if you will, the virtues of Narayan. So the same way, may he kill our Mura. And Mura has so many meanings. No? Our suffering in separation from him. May he kill our death. We are dying in separation of him. Or also Mura would mean, refer to Madhurya Rasa, to the romantic attraction. And Krishna is the enemy of Madhurya, because he's not... what's this word in English? Like the Guru Maharaj was asking the other day, allowing us to consummate our relation with him. And actually he's doing that, but it's in specific installments. No? You require some other things to happen till the consummation of the whole relationship is in place. So in this way, basically, the gopis conclude as usual, converge in the conclusion, let be born as rivers. Let's see what we can do so in our next lifetime we can appear. But again, the rivers and every other entity in Braj is appreciating the position of the gopis, and they are thinking, oh, they are so fortunate. And they themselves, the gopis, are seeing the Creator has damned us, and our birth is totally condemned. We want to leave this body of as gopis. Things like that. We don't want to leave our staiva, our emotion toward Krishna. No? But we want a vehicle that may facilitate the union further. So it's important to make the difference. Even if they may say in the madness of their Purvarag, we don't want to be gopis anymore. They don't want to leave their Madhuri attraction toward Krishna that characterizes the gopis that much. So it's just a way of expressing their longing for union. And in that context, we gave some examples of devotees in that level of madness expressing, let me born as a snake, so I facilitate Radha Krishna's union by scaring Shraddha, and things like this. It's just a way of making a point that further emphasizes which is their inner sthayibhav, basically, but not modifying it, but facilitating seva, basically. So, brief words about yesterday's class, and from that so-called inert object, rivers, water, today we will move to another quote-unquote inert object in Braj. No inertia there, but it's a way of, in which we create a bigger, even bigger contrast, because look, this is generally inert, but look how this is acting and so on. So today is the turn of the clouds. So we go from the water element, as we will see, to another watery element, because as you know, clouds have to do a lot with water being evaporated. Actually, that will be the connection that some of our acharyas will make. Okay, now let's go from the river, oh, it takes the form of clouds now, so the natural sequence takes us to the next verse, today's verse, verse 16. So let's recite the verse in Sanskrit. Basically here the rivers will be described, as you will see, forming a beautiful protective umbrella to give relief to Krishna from the heat and other things as well. So it says like this. Drishtva tape brajapasun saharama gopaihi sancharayantamanubenu mudirayantam prema prabridha udita kusumabali bihi sakhyur vyadhat swapapu sambudata patram. So the translation says, in the company of Balaram and the cowherd boys, Krishna is continually vibrating his flute as he herds all the animals of Braj, even under the full heat of the sun. There it says the summer sun, but actually we are in autumn season. So it's a way of, I don't know why whoever made that translation, who was disciples of Prabhupada, was not Prabhupada at this time, because this is chapter 21, some of his disciples. Maybe the idea was, although it was autumn, it felt like summer or something. But technically we will see there's no summer word in the word by word. Sorry, the interruption. Let's go again. In the company of Balaram the cowherd boys, Krishna is continually vibrating his flute as he herds all the animals of Braj, even under the full heat of the summer sun. Seeing this, the cloud in the sky has expanded himself out of love. He is rising high and constructing out of his own body, with its multitude of flower-like droplets of water, an umbrella for the sake of his friend. Vrindavan clouds, Kijai. So yeah, there are some details again, technical. For example, I think the original also says Lord Krishna, right? And your translator say Lord Krishna. Mm-hmm. But the gopis will never say like that. You know, they will never say Lord Krishna is. So it's a way of Prabhupada disciples to continue with how Prabhupada tried to make the point, Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam, he's Bhagavan, but if you really enter into the psychology language of the Lila, gopis are not saying Krishna Lord. So, and it's not in the original, but there are, again, technical details that I'm just clarifying in case you feel I'm saying something different from that translation. Let's go to the word by word. So first line says, Drishtva tape brajapasum saharama gopai. So similar words start to appear. Balaram reappears here after some verses. So Drishtva means like after seeing, after seeing. So we'll see what does this mean. Still, the whole thing is not unfolded. Braja Pasun means the animals of Braj. Saha means with. Oh, I forgot one word, sorry. Drishta Atapi. Atapi. So Atapi means in the heat. Again, it's not saying summer. It's not even saying autumn. It's just saying heat. But remember, the first verse of this Bhagavad Gita puts the whole narration in the context of the autumn season. Sharat. So Atapi means in the heat. You may remember the song Bajahure Mana. Sinanda Nandana. Abaya Chanana Harvind. One part says Sita Atapa. Patabarishana, and so on. Edine Jamini Jagiri. Sita Atapa means in cold and heat, under rains and so on, and so on, says the lyric. So Atapa means hot season. So Drishtva Atapi. So after seeing in the heat, Braja Pasun means the Pasu. Pasu means what? You already used that word many times. Animals. Pasun with M is plural. So animals. And Braja means Braj. And it is said sometimes animals, of course for us immediately it's cows and calves, but it's not saying cows and calves, it's saying animals. So sometimes the acharyas comment here that sometimes other animals join the party, but of course favorable anukul species, no, favorable domesticated animal, not like a dinosaur or like a crocodile and snakes, but like a goat, no, a sheep, something that may like not engage in that big rasa-basa, if you will. So that's why they say here animals, and not only the go or gavan, cows, and so on. So saha rama gopai. So saha means along with, and rama gopai means Ram, who is Ram, Balaram, and gopai. Gopaihi means the gopas. So Krishna, along with the gopas, and Krishna not mentioned in the verse in this time, not. The other one were two names, so now no name. So, but it will be implied, his presence will be implied for sure. So that's the first line. Still we don't have a clear picture of the order of the words. Now we will take more form with the second line. Sancharayantam anuvenu mudirayantam. So sancharayantam means herding together. So now it starts to, we have to have a form of this. Krishna with Balaram, the gopas are herding together. The animals, not the cows, the animals in general, under the heat, under a particular hot moment, if you will. So, anuvenum udirayantam. So, anu means repeatedly, or some other things as we'll see. Venum means venum. No need to even translate at this point the word. And udirayantam means loudly playing. So, at that moment, after seeing, the first word of the verse, after seeing, we will see the cows under the heat and the hot situation, Krishna will play his flute with some intention in mind, as we will see. So, loudly playing, udirayantam, ut. The word starts with ut. Ut means like high. And it can mean high in volume, like he starts to play. Or high sometimes, like if you are jumping and you are getting higher, if you will, by jumping. So Krishna was playing and dancing and jumping with his friends. That's another possibility of the word ut, which means high, up. Or sometimes it means not very loud, not very high volume, but very high mood, inner mood. He was maybe playing softly, but he was playing very high. High mood was there in his inspiration, if you will, no? Going higher and higher. So all these things are possible with the idea of udirayantam. So Krishna started to play the flute in that particular way. Then the third line say prema prabhridha uditaha kushuma balibhi. So prem, I think you imagine what's the meaning of that one. Prem means love. And prabhridha means increased out of. So prem, prabhridha go together, increased out of love. We'll see what's the meaning of this. Uditaha, rising high, and kushuma avalivihi. Again, this verse is one of the classical where the main character of the verse is not appearing till the last line. Till now, we don't know whose love is increasing, who is rising high. Kusuma Abalibihi, which means with a group of flowers, which has to do with actually with droplets of water vapor, you say. Of course, all this will have to do with the clouds, but the clouds have not entered into the stage yet. So in this way, it's creating momentum. Sakyur, last line, Vyadhat Swabhapu Sambuddha Atapatram. So Sakyur, Sakyur means for his friend. So Krishna is the main meaning of for his friend means for the friend of that entity that we don't have an idea who he is yet. That refers to Krishna. Vyadhat, he constructed Swabhapusha with his own body. And at this point all of you are like, ooh, who is doing all that? Ambudha. So finally, the penultimate word reveals who is the main character. Ambudha means the cloud. Ambu is a word for water. And da is a word for da. In Spanish, in English is give. In Spanish you say da. He gives el da. In Sanskrit, da is to give is da, like in Spanish. So Ambudha means giver of water, which is another word of saying cloud. So finally, the cloud is appearing. Attapatram, the last word. Attapatram means like a, how is it in English? Like parasol or like an umbrella. So he's out of love, is expanding the cloud and is creating a like a big umbrella to protect Krishna, his friends, and the cows from the heat of the autumn season, particular heat. And not only protecting them by throwing some very soft, not like heavy rain, but some droplets of water to create some refreshment for them, which are compared like flowers. Those are the cloud flowers, basically. So basically, that's the gist of the verse with the word-by-word translation. So let's see what else comes from here. To begin with, of course, we have to always remember the background of all these verses. The gopis trying to hide their bhav in the abhahita bhav, the tendency to not expose their parakiya, and speaking about everyone else in Vrindavan. They are not speaking about themselves directly. They are at every moment speaking about themselves indirectly. But directly they are referring to every single other species of Braj, but their love remains, again, in the background, like underlying situation. Remember, gopi has to do with the word gupta, which means hidden. But their love is a hidden thing. They tend to hide. And it is said that whenever, the more you hide your affection, the more it like gets condensed there. And when you make it like a cheap show of that, it dissolves, basically. So one who can keep her affection for Krishna concealed in the heart, that's a gopi. Basically, that's the definition, one of the definitions of gopi. And as the popular wisdom says, not something kept secret becomes more, how do you say in English, like flavorful, worthy of relishment or something. So the more something remains secret, and not secret fully, nobody knows about it, but in a confidential realm. But as we know, although the gopis try their best, sometimes their emotions subside in one verse, in every verse actually, if you have the eyes to see, the ears to hear. And sometimes it becomes a little bit more evident, and the gopis like, oh, what have we done? No, like it became a little bit more evident. So they kind of bite their tongues, like, oh. And they try to hide their babs that were previously expressed, and they, again, trying to change topics. Look at the cloud. No, like if you say or do something like, oh my God, what did I do? I have to take the attention of you. Look, rainbow. It's a number, not rainbow, look the time of the day. There's no. And when you are all looking at you, I threw myself through the window or something. So the gopis in their natural psychology is like, oh, look at the cloud now. We cannot help but create a maestro and the love that it has for Krishna. So in this way, again, in this verse, they are trying to hide their feelings. There are many things happening at the same time, again. They are appreciating whatever is going on with the clouds, but simultaneously they are trying to hide their Madhurya Parakya Bhav for Krishna by describing, in this case, Sakyarasa, the clouds. So it's the turn of Sakyarasa in this verse. Of course, it already was present by mentioning of Balaram and the Gopas in many other verses. But again, Sakyarasa surfacing in this particular verse. We see that sometimes the turn of Madhurya, Vatsalya, cows, Chakya, and so on. So, let's share some things that were said by our acharyas in some commentaries here and there. Srila Jiva Goswami, in his Lagu Vaishnava Tosani, confirms this fact that how the gopis are trying like to distract the audience from what's actually going on. And he says, now, even while imagining an emotion in an unconscious entity as before, with a description of the rasa of friendship, the gopis speak as if to cover their own rasa. They do this in the next verse as well. So the next verse also will have to do with this idea. And Sanatana Goswami says something similar, very nice. Let me read his Brihad Vaishnava Toshini commentary. He paraphrases the gopis. He says, here the gopis say, by connecting with the previous verse, first to begin with, he says, one gopi says, so be it. Sri Kalindi and Manasa Ganga, remember previous verses, main characters, who abide in Braj and have obtained Krishna's wonderful amusements, and other rivers too, due to fellowship with them, have that kind of good luck. But can even the good fortune of a simple cloud, which abides in the sky, is mostly unconscious and is formed of vapor, be described? So again, here comes the connection with the two verses. No? The rivers are water and the clouds are evaporated, you say? Evaporated water. So they connect the watery element with another form in which the watery element expressed in this verse. Sanatana Goswami continues, indeed, how can we describe the fortune of the cloud situated in the unconscious sky arising from vapors? Filled with prem, the cloud rises and increases in size by means of water drops. In the extreme heat, the cloud makes an umbrella from his own body for his dear friend. Now, here the word sakyo, which means the friend, implies the friend of the cloud. One detail here. The acharyas also present that it's possible that the gopis are implying, instead of saying his friend, no, the cloud's friend, Krishna, the gopis are saying our friend. Because many times the gopis will refer to Krishna as Sakka, no, our friend. He's our friend. Romantic friend, but friend at the end. So the implication is, he's our friend. We should be serving our friend. Not the cloud. No. But the cloud is doing that. No? All these implications. Not outsiders. As we will see, the gopis at one point will feel clouds are not even Brajavasis because they keep moving. So, yeah, they are now in Vrindavan today, but they may continue somewhere else. And even they are more fortunate than us. They are outsiders. And they are Krishna's friend. We are, he's our Sakha, our friend, the gopis say. We should be able to do what they are doing. Anyhow, Sanatana Goswami mentioned, the cloud makes an umbrella from his own body for his dear friend and expresses prem by drops of water. Which, as Guru Maharaj always says, in Vrindavan, there is no rain, but the clouds are crying. So everything is to be seen in those times. Oh, it's raining. No. Clouds are expressing satvik bhav of ashru, or tears falling from their eyes and so on. Thus, the cloud does not shed tears of sorrow by rain, but shed tears in bliss. Because these are these two types of crying. Rupa Goswami analyzes that in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. You can cry because of bliss, you can cry because of grief. Even the tears he mentions are different, appear for different parts of the eyes, and some are cold and some are heat. He starts to make a whole analysis of the tears. So here the gopis are saying, actually, here the clouds are not crying in grief as we are crying. That's the implication, the gopis say. They are crying out of bliss because of the chance they are having to serve his friend. Our friend. His friend, okay, but our friend. Some acharyas like Sridhar Swami, venerated ancient commentator of the Bhagavatam, he mentions, he gives another option, that the clouds, instead of offering like very soft raindrops, it is offering snowflakes. So it may be more, even more cooling. If it's too hot, maybe that may. Even though outside of the cloud it's totally hot, there you are receiving snowflakes. Bring down everything's possible. So basically, this verse depicts a typical daily scene, and of course, the gopis are visualizing at that particular moment what's going on in the forest from the village, but from the vantage point of their hearts, if you will, and being there, as they always say, in this forest. Well, they are in the village, but they are in the forest. Physically, the body's in the village, but they are somewhere else. So, and there have been some verses in the Venu Gita that we have already shared in the beginning depicting this scene, no? Krishna, Balaram, Gopas in the forest with the cows, because that's the moment in which we are in this whole Venu Gita. Purban Lila, 8:24 till 10:48, Gocharan Lila, when they're going for cow pasturing and so on. So here, again, Baladeva is depicted with the name Rama. So there's an interesting point here, because generally, of course, we may call him many names: Baladev, Balaram, Doji, Ram, and so on. Rohini Sutta, Rohini Nandan, and so on. But one important point here that it is made is that generally in the Bhagavatam, because we are in the Bhagavatam here, analyzing different sections, specifically this chapter, but along the Bhagavatam, we won't find all those names of Baladev there in the Bhagavatam. Mostly we'll find the names Ram and the name Bal. So it has been said that whenever the verse is depicting a moment in which Balaram is like showing his strength, because there are sections where Balaram is, his name Bal. And whenever he's having fun, no, enjoying himself and frolicking and so on, he's generally, the name is Ram. No? Because Bala means strength, and Ram means he who delights, he who enjoys, and he who makes others enjoy. So it's also an interesting point. No? One can make some research about all the names and when they appear. So, but generally, when he's showing his strength and killing a demon or something like that, generally Bhagavatam, Sukadeva will address him Bal. And when he's just having fun, if you will, he will be Ram. So here he's called Ram. So it shows the what they are going through in this particular moment. Krishna, again, with the gopas and the cows, they are not showing strength by killing a demon in this precise moment. Maybe later they're having some mock fighting and we have to call him Bala. But here in this precise moment, he's called Ram. So he's making others enjoy, and he's enjoying the company of his friends. Of course, always in the classical extreme service disposition, I don't want to go too long into Baladev's ontology and inner seva disposition, but just two words, since we invoke the name Baladev, Balaram, Ram. So we know he's really, I mean, there's no place where he's not in one way or another serving Krishna, as Guru Mahārāj always likes to point. You know, he's a really very personification of the guru, of the service principle, if you will. Sometimes it is said that we have different forms of Balaram. You may have heard that, like the different Vishnus and expansions of expansions, Mool Sankarshan, Maha Sankarshan. And eventually, if you want to speak as the lesser form, and there is no lesser form, but somehow sometimes the expansion of the expansion of the expansion and so on, it is known as an Antashesh. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is described in that order. No? It finishes with an Antashesh at the bottom of the whole creation. And again, this is not to downplay an Antashesh position at all. But sometimes some sadhus make the point of a play of words with Anantashesh. Ananta means unlimited, and Shesha means like reminder. No? Like if we are, I don't know.
Remainder.
Sorry, Soma. Reminder is that I'm reminding you of something. Yeah.
Remainder.
Okay. So if you are, I don't know, If you say 5 minus 5, 0. So no remainder. So sometimes it is made a play of words between Ananta and Shesh. Now, Ananta means unlimited. So it says after Balaram performs unlimited service and he covers all the bases, so to say, if some remainder is there, he will go and take it. Yeah, I also take that. And he will continue doing service in that particular remainder, little section that he has not covered in the beginning. He will appear again as Sri Guru in one form, as Sri Mridanga, as the ornaments of Krishna. He will cover all the bases, if you will. I will be there as the umbrella, as the thread, as the paduka, as the bed, I mean, obsessed with divine service, basically. Ananta says, ki jai. Shri Balaram ki jai. So, again, I don't want to, I mean, I won't, but it will maybe, no return ticket, so we'll continue with the narrative here. So going back to the scene, Krishna, the Gopas, Sri Ram, they arrive at Govardhan's meadows, if you will, or at the banks of the Jamuna, almost at midday. At this point, it's a little bit later than the Purban Lila, where they were leaving for the forest there, for a while there. And still, although we are in the autumn season, it gets pretty hot. It is said that sometimes in India, even you can see if you are in autumn there may be some days. Autumn is supposedly a moment where it starts to be less hot, but in between there will be some like intense days of heat. So it seems this is one of them. So the gopas, the cows, feel a little bit like exhausted, a little bit like tired because of the heat and because of being playing and running and taking the cows for pasturing and so on. So, and Jiva Goswami mentioned, since there are many gopas, again, it says Saha Gopai, it's not just Krishna Ram and two, three friends. No? It's Asankhya, unlimited. So there is a good need of shadow for them. It's not just like get two, three umbrellas in the nearby shopping and shop and we are there. No, you need like comprehensive parasol, if you will. So we will see how the clouds try to solve that. So at that point, the cows had gone a little bit far from the main group. So Krishna is trying to call them together, and also, as we will see, have some other purposes. So he takes his venu, and he starts to call, to play loudly, as they say, Udirayantam, or loudly, or deeply, as we mentioned, with different implications. Or Anu. Anu means repeatedly, over and over again. The word Anu means repeatedly, or sometimes means behind. So it can mean that Krishna was in the back of the whole group. And the group was advancing, moving towards the cows, and Krishna was in the back, playing from there. The flute, that's another possibility. So the cows hear the sound of the flute. We already spoke about the effect of the flute on the cows. We won't go there again, but you can recall that. With unblinking eyes, drinking the sound, the nectar of the flute, again, grass falling, and so on. Krishna's Drupa Madhuri, also seeing the Krishna's form, the sweetness of his form, and so on. It is said that even sometimes the cows were just at that spot, there was very hot sand, or they were just sitting on a very hot rock. Hot, I mean, because of the sun being there. But they were hearing just the flute of Krishna. They were told, feeling everything is totally cool, not hot. They were not feeling the hot until they were feeling, I mean, something that may create for most people an experience of suffering. For the cows, was like relief. It may sound like dysfunctional, but that's one of the symptoms of rag. Rupa Goswami explains in Ujjval Nilamani. One of the ways of describing rag, and I think Guru Maharaj mentioned that the other day also, is that even extreme suffering is experienced as extreme happiness. Try to imagine. Do not try to imitate, right? But that's the point. The question, of course, is what's in their heart for their perception of things in such a way? Something that for every single person will be extreme suffering, you can imagine whatever. For someone who has rag, that same thing is source of unending bliss. So this is the case, no? With the cows sitting on very hot surfaces, but experiencing everything like as cool as whatever you can imagine that may be cool. So, but Krishna nonetheless wants to give further relief, no, to the cows and to his friends. There he sees some drops of perspiration. So what, which arrangement we can do? So of course the clouds will do their part, but Krishna is also inviting them in a unique way. So he's taking his bamshi and he starts to play. And he starts to play one particular rag called Malar Rag. So Malar Rag is among, there are many others in that similar line, but Malar Rag, Jiva Goswami mentions that one in the purport, is a rag for invoking rain, basically, for attracting the clouds so they can shower their mercy. So Malar Rag is associated with torrential rains, actually. And it is said even without resorting to Krishna, to the topmost bamsi player, but there was a famous flute player in India called Tansen, and it is he played in the court of a king, and he was famous for playing this Malar Rag. He even had his own Malar Rag, and he would create rain when he was playing the rag. No, literally, it's not like okay, maybe he will know how to invoke rain by playing the rag properly. So that's the idea of these types of composition. They have an emotional impact in reality, in the environment. You can alter reality by that. As you can hear a song and get depressed, or generally you are depressed and you hear a song to get more depressed. To hear someone who is as depressed as you, so you feel I'm not so miserable in my depression, but the end result is like, or the opposite, or whatever. Your romanticism is like, and you hear some, whatever. So that creates an emotional impact on you. That's my point. Sound, music. So when that's extremely well performed, that can really create very critical effects in the whole nature around us. So Krishna is doing that here. He's playing Malar Rag. And upon hearing Malar Rag coming specifically from Krishna's flute, all the clouds start to assemble and get close to the scene, basically. Because, Krishna is playing a thunder rag, if you will. So we have in reciprocation to offer something. So they will offer, among other things, their thunders as well. So Krishna is playing the thunder rag. The clouds will offer thunder with rag, with affection. So the word rag, as you know, means that as well. So the clouds start to appear and to cover Krishna and his friends and the cows. But there are many. So what happens, it's described here, out of prema prabridha, they start to expand. Out of prem, they start to grow. Generally, you don't see a cloud expanding like in this particular way, no? But it is said, some sadhus say, the cloud thought, well, going to Brahma Vimohan Lila. But Krishna sometimes expanded himself as his cows and friends, so to protect them for a particular reason. So now we, for protecting him and his friends and his cows, let's expand ourselves. Krishna created expansions of himself, so the clouds are thinking, let's expand ourselves, let's grow in size, let's grow in service disposition. That's another way. Let's make our heart bigger, in terms of, for us sadhakas, was the practical application of that. The more we grow, the more we expand our service disposition, the more we can offer a pleasurable service. Srila Sridhara Maharaj will define prem, as I think I told you, once someone asked him, what's prem? He said, it means to receive unlimited energy to offer in service. So now we have some energy for offering in seva, but prem means there's no limit to the descent of that energy. So you expand, again, your area of service, your capacity to please Hari, all of your faculties, all your potentials are like reaching its zenith. So here we see one particular personification of prem in the form of the clouds in Vrindavan. So in this way, the clouds are gathering together, expanding themselves, and creating a giant umbrella, similar to what Krishna did in the Govardhan Lila, still to come in this part of the Bhagavatam. So this is first umbrella. Maybe Krishna there got inspiration or the Govardhan Lila, then, oh, I can do something similar now. It's a giant umbrella, a giant parasol. And not only that, because again, you may be affected by the sun, and okay, I give you shade, but I can add to the equation, so the clouds started to shower some very soft raindrops, not extreme ones, but just very, how do you say in English? When there is not actually raining, but you feel the... Okay, you just, all of those put together and more. So, some soothing drops of water. That's why it's called Ambuda. Again, there are many ways to say cloud, Ghan, and so on. But Ambuda means giver of water. So, like, it's giving water in a particular way, according to the situation. So, again, out of love for Krishna, they're offering, first of all, their very bodies, offering them as umbrellas, no? Their own bodies are, and the very essence of those bodies, which is in the form of, in the case of the cloud, is water, they're offering their very essence as well. So that's, we see many similar examples in all these verses of the Bhagavad Gita, how these different species are offering their sar, their essence, to their essence, to Krishna. No, the peacocks are offering their peacock feathers. What else do you remember? The cows are offering their milk. The deer are offering their glances. The rivers are offering their water and lotuses. So we see how the different species are offering the best that they have available in their very own self, extensions of themselves, the essence of themselves. In this case, we could say the clouds are offering their tears. No? That's the essence. They are crying in love of Krishna, and they are offering that divine water to him, doing some form of soft abhishek. Soft, not like shh, but soft abhishek. So that's their worship. That's how they're, as we always say, in the beginning we have to get water for the Arctic, and get all the elements, and if we don't have one element, oh my God, I cannot do the Arctic. But in the higher realms, they don't have that problem because all those elements come immediately, naturally, from their own bodies. No? Tears and so on. There are all these different parallels. The glances are like the lamps of love. No, when Krishna returns from cowherding, it is always described how Yashoda and Rohini, all the others, look at him and start like to inspect all the sections of his body to see if he's okay, if he didn't have any... And how they are inspecting that with Vatsalya eyes, that's compared like deepa, no? Like circumambulate, like around the different parts, like you see. No? Like what Srila Semana says, how Gadadhar Pandit was worshipping the Bhagavatam also, no? He was saying, with tears. He would read the Bhagavatam, and instead of offering water from a conch shell and doing arctic to the Bhagavatam, as one can also do, Gadadhar Pandit had the whole paraphernalia present in him. So the tears came and the offering of water came directly without intermediary, you say? With someone in between. So straight. So that's our goal, that's our Archana Siddhi, the perfection of Archana. But you no longer need, where is the flower, where is the water? You don't even think in those terms. All of those ingredients are organically coming from you. You are not even thinking about, oh, now I will do arctic. I mean, naturally you are doing that at every moment while looking at the object of your affection. Okay. That was not a cloud thundering. That was a tree. Anyhow, I'll continue. One gopi continues saying, in this connection, I'll read to you. Gopi says, when a great, in connection to what we are saying, no? All the things that the clouds are offering. When a great personality arrives, in the classical Indian tradition, you receive a great personality in your house, there is a whole decorum to follow. It's not just, oh, hello, go on, you're at home, do whatever you like, or something. Or I'm going, I'm just finishing one video game, give me 15 minutes, I'm going, nothing like that. So if someone is coming, very special personality, his dear ones worship him with, mainly three elements are mentioned there, you know, like bathing his feet with cool scented water, like washing of the feet, offering garland flowers or flowers in some form. I'm playing a conch shell, like we do for the Arctic, no? And great personalities are coming, if you will. So in the same way, this cloud, we're seeing his friend Krishna are basically exactly doing that, the same thing. Krishna's, this expression is always mentioned in Shastra. Krishna is dearer to him than millions of their own lives. No? It's difficult to conceive because generally for us, as Sukadev Goswami says in the Bhagavatam, actually for us the Atma is the ultimate object of our own affection, even though we may think we love this, we love that. Generally we love anything because we perceive that as an extension of ourselves. So ultimately we love ourselves. But here in this type of example, they say they love Krishna more than millions of their own selves. Not only more than themselves, but multiply how much you love everything that you think you love everything and actually you love you. Multiply that for billions and zillions. And that's not even enough to represent how much they love. Not themselves, but Krishna. So in that connection, the clouds are offering these same elements to Bhagavan. The water that you offer the great personality to wash his her feet is coming in the form of this rain, soft chain, raindrops bathing, like doing some soft abhishek to Krishna. The flowers are coming in the form of flower-like tears, similarly, of love, flower-like raindrop. And the deep thunder or rumbling is like the conch shell. Right? Like sometimes it's played when a great personality is coming to welcome. So this is a parallel, poetic parallel sometimes is given to how the clouds are receiving Krishna's appearance in the forest. And interestingly, again, when we speak about the offering of the tear raindrops, the word actually in the verse, if you pay attention, says Kusuma Balibi. Kusuma Balibihi means a group of flowers. So again, what's the meaning, group of flowers? So Srinath Chakrabarti, in his purport to this verse, he mentions that Kusuma Balibi means with drizzles. You say, who say someone, you say drizzle, which are almost flowers. Because again, rain, intense rain is not perceived as flowers, but some soft rain is like flower petals coming. And he says, generally, water is defined as mega pushpa. One word in Sanskrit for water, I mean, Sanskrit very poetic, is mega pushpa. Mega means cloud, and pushpa means flower. So one way to say in Sanskrit water, because it's to say water is ordinary, they say the flowers from the cloud flowers. So next time, instead of asking for a glass of water, please, you be a little bit more poetic. I use, please, can you bring me a glass of cloud flowers, please? Not outside of this group, because they will put you in the madhouse, but among ourselves. You can ask them. I need some flowers coming from the cloud. Okay, you want water. Here. So that's how it's defined classically in Sanskrit, one of the ways of saying water. So in that sense, the water here is described as flowers, because it's already, if you are embedded in the culture, you will know, of course, water means the flowers coming from the clouds, so, basically. Or some other possibility that some acharyas mentioned is that actually devas and devis that were in previous verses, from the sky, they are showing flowers. No? Like we hear very often that they are Dupuspanjali and doing that flower shower from the sky towards Krishna in that precise moment. So some raindrops may be falling, but also some flowers, if you want to take it as separate. Or some they say, well, some of the flowers that the devas threw got stuck in the clouds, and the clouds took them and they threw the flowers to Krishna. Whatever the case, no? That's some of the possibilities regarding this word, Kusuma Balibhi. So they were covering Krishna with this parasol, and also sometimes this is mentioned by our acharyas, the sign of royalty in India again, not maybe in other countries, But like you are like a king or you are like a prince or something in connection is that you are caring or someone is caring for you, I would say. Like a parasol, not like an umbrella, ordinary umbrella, but a specific type of parasol, if you will. Mm-hmm. And flowers also are accompanying that person, no? Like shower flowers and things like this, no? So, and generally a girl is connected with, a girl will love a prince, no? Like the ideal hero. No? And the girls here, of course, we know who they are, and the prince, we know who he is. Rajkumar. Krishna is the prince of Vrindavan. Nanda Maharaj is the king, as we already was mentioned, Brajeshwar. And Krishna is the, how to say, the heir to the throne. Okay. Or another possibility here is that the gopis are hinting in connection with the devis that were maybe throwing some flowers. All the devis in heaven have love for Krishna. They are princesses. The devis are princesses. Krishna is a prince. So somehow there is a match there, although one is from another total different planet. But somehow they match on that. And they are organizing these two royal elements, no? Like the parasol and the flower shower. No? So different perspectives in which all the things are possible. Let's almost finish by sharing some words from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. His Sarat Tadarshini Tika, his counter is very unique. It's like a very special, like magnifying glass towards these verses. You see the verse and it means something. You take the commentaries of our acharyas, like putting a magnifying glass inside and say, like, wow. Like if I put you an ant here and you say, look the ant and appreciate the ant, you say, okay. But if I give you like a super telescope, you'll start to see like 1,000 ingredients that you could never even see nor conceive. So the commentaries of our acharyas are that type of thing. No? So they allow us to see how broad and deep actually are all the details here. So Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, paraphrasing gopis. The gopis say, darn, darn, darn. It starts. He has his style, as you know, no? Darn. Even the things that are in Sakya Bhav, not the persons, but the things, no? You can speak about the cloud as a thing. Even the things that are in Sakya Bhav make themselves successful. The cloud enlarged only out of love. This means it increased to alleviate the heat of him who was with cows and cow herders. Some points we already mentioned, but they are worthy repeating. So again, the clouds are enlarging themselves. We have to become bigger. Well, as we sometimes say, we have to become all that we can be. We have to actualize our potential. No, it's not so. We are not so much asking ourselves who we are, but who we can be. That's the real, the ultimate question. Of course, for knowing that, maybe first you have to ask who you are. And at the same time, defining who you are implies who you can be. Because in the words of Srila Siddhartha Maharaj, you are a unit of potential. You cannot analyze yourself nor define yourself separate from all that you can become. If you just define yourself according to what you are now, but not to all that you can be, that's not an accurate definition. Because one thing is to be defined and analyzed considering its potential, not only whatever you are today. That doesn't give too much hope, at least for me. If I have to tell you who I am till today, that's not a very happy situation. But if I have to tell you all that I can be according to the prospect I've received by causeless mercy, oh, then we can organize a big party. So that's the idea. So the same way as the clouds are enlarging themselves, we are to enlarge ourselves. We are to grow out of love. As Guru Maharaj will say, spiritual life is about change and growth. Change means to grow. And to grow, it may be painful. Like when your teeth are growing, it's like, but they are growing. I mean, that some muscles or something, it's painful, but it's a sign of growth. So you have to welcome that. So we are to enlarge ourselves out of love, like the clouds. Of course, we are not the clouds. We don't have prem, but at least out of the desire for that, we are to work on the enlargement project of sadhana, basically. Every day, enlarging our dedication, our capacity a little bit more, a little bit more. And very sincerely asking ourselves, which is today's obstacle that is not allowing to become all that I can be today? How can I deal with that? And tomorrow will be another day, another conversation. So in this way, the gopis are appreciating, as usual, the great position of the clouds and lamenting to themselves. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur continues, we are remembering Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. So he says, in this way the gopis lament to themselves. The cloud thinks of himself as Krishna's friend because they are so similar. And now he will give some nice parallels between. Well, because again, if the cloud is thinking of Krishna as a friend, means as equals. You know, Sakya is among equals. So a cloud is seeing Krishna, is seeing another cloud. Oh, here's another cloud. Krishna is like a cloud. Ganshams, we'll see. So which are the similarities that make the cloud to see Krishna on equal terms and establish a Sakya connection? One, both of them remove distress. Cloud remove distress. You're like here, no? You're very affected by heat. Clouds give shade and water and hope. And Krishna removes distress in the same way. So they do not only have, as we'll see, of course, similar color. That's a classical parallel, no? But they have a similar swabhava. They have a similar nature. They remove distress. Krishna is a remover of distress. Although the gopis here will call him giver of distress, but that's another thing, not in general. What the gopis are seeing outside of themselves for a moment, oh, he's removing the distress of everyone. As we will see, it will end up by saying, except for us. But here he's saying, they remove distress, and not only they remove distress, and that makes them similar, but they remove distress by downpours of nectar. The cloud is raining nectar in the form of its water, and Krishna is raining nectar in the form of rasa, in the form of the sound of the venom, of the flute, which is like a rain of nectar. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Then he goes to the hue. He says, both the cloud and Krishna, they are both dark blue in color. So one name of Krishna is one of many. There are many names of Krishna in connection to his cloud-like, dark cloud-like hue, like Ghanashyam or Megashyam. There are different words for cloud. Megha or Ghana and Shyam refers to him, Shyam Sundar. So they are similar, again, externally, hue, internally, nature. And both of them exhibit also lightning and thunder, they say. No? So the lightning in the cloud, we know which is that one. In Krishna is his pitambara, his yellow cloth, is the color of lightning, he described. And the thunder, which is Krishna's thunder, Ganugit. That's it. So in this way, and of course there are many other things that are not mentioned by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, we have shared before, I think. Like the description, Krishna's peacock feathers like the rainbow in that sky, and Krishna's pearl necklace is like the birds flying in that same sky. So they add different other parallels with the whole scene, basically. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur continues, paraphrasing the gopis, that, due to those similarities, that is why the clouds love Nanda Nandan like a friend, again, on equal terms. Just as we saw before, the peacock will see Krishna, and he has so many peacock feathers, and in the distance it seems he has a peacock, as we mentioned, on his head. He seems like a peacock. So for a peacock, say, oh, one peacock there. And they see Krishna dancing, and they start to dance, and the two of them start to dance similarly. So a peacock sees a peacock there, no? Oh, so the gopis now visualize the cloud seeing Krishna as another cloud. Because they have so much in common. So the clouds will say among themselves, look, another cloud there. A very unique one, but one cloud. One of us, one friend. Friend. An equal, Ganesha. So in this way, the cloud is giving pleasure to Krishna. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur concludes, as usual, but, we do not get an opportunity to please him. The gopis lament, basically. So again, even the idea here is, even a cloud, if you want to present it in that extreme way, which an sentient being in the sky, so far, it's not here with us, is making Krishna happy. But we cannot do that. We cannot get to make Krishna happy. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur concludes his purport with the gopis saying, to hell with us. Fionas, to hell with us, and so on, all these type of expressions. And let's go to Jiva Goswami's Gopal Champu, who gives a very nice description also. He says, paraphrasing the gopis, all that, remember, they are there, they are participants of the Leela, so they know what's going on. Though the clouds are inanimate, again, the gopis are thinking like this, in this final section, classical final section of contrast, their fortune, our lack of fortune. Though the clouds are inanimate and are floating above everyone, because they have prem within, they serve Krishna by their water and shade. We are unfortunate. We surrender to him, accept him as the protection of our lives, and give him all respect, but without service to him, our lives are useless. But that's an interesting point the gopis are making here through Jiva Goswami. We have surrendered to him, we have accepting him, so all these limbs of Saranagati are in place, but we don't have the chance of rendering service to him. We are not being given that opportunity. Of course, they want to serve Krishna in a particular way, and they are not having that opportunity. So they feel our life has no meaning. Even though all that is, the rest is in place, if we don't have the chance of all those things, make them, all those things converge in the form of seva, which means to do something for the pleasure of the object of my affection. If we cannot do that, then what's the meaning of all the other things, of all the charanagati, which is so important, charanagati as a... But charanagati is the foundation. It makes the gopis basically say, if you can have 108% charanagati in place, but that's basically the stage on which something else will be enacted there. The loving interaction, the life of service. Like Krishna says in the Gita to Arjuna, prani talbidhi prani patena pari prasnena sivaya. So that's the last part, sivaya. Sivaya means offer service. He's not beginning saying offer service. Service is the last part. First he says surrender, humble inquiry, service. So if you surrender, that will take, if you open your heart, you have proper faith, your inquiry with sincerity, you will ask proper questions with humility, and the end result of all those things, service. Service will justify the other elements. As sometimes we say, Ananda justifies sat and chit. No? That makes no sense to have sat but not have chit. It makes no sense to have sat and chit and not have Ananda. What's the meaning of existing by being unconscious? What's the meaning of existing, being conscious but not being happy? So Ananda ends up justifying all the previous elements. So in the same way, service justifies all the previous stages that ideally converge there. So, and of course, everyone in Vrindavan, the gopis are saying that, everyone is engaging in service to Krishna in one form or another, except for us. Except for us. So, thus the gopis conclude. With this we will conclude also. Oh, if the Creator had made us clouds instead of gopis, well, it always finishes in this prayer. Then imagine, you're praying to be born as a cloud. That's not in the 8,400,000 species, I think, but the gopis are, keep expanding the list. Oh, if the Creator had made us clouds instead of gopis, then we also could surrender our bodies, minds, wealth, and our everything for Krishna's service, as the clouds are doing. Alas, in this birth, as gopis, we have been completely deprived of service to Krishna. I mean, they are totally absorbing service to Krishna in one sense, because they are the highest service is to think always about Him, and they are already doing that, but they want more. No? Someone who loves Krishna will feel never enough. I can always love Him more. Sakhi, see how much anurag these clouds have for Him. Sometimes it is said in this appreciation of the position of the clouds that even the clouds know Krishna from the very birth. It is said that Krishna was born, and in the Bhagavatam it is mentioned, if we want to take Krishna's being born in Mathura, which is one possibility, Vasudeva is taking Krishna from Mathura to Vrindavan, and that particular day he was born was a rainy day. So clouds were there from day one. That's one point, one way of saying, no? And Krishna received his first Abhishek from the cloud. Then he went to Vrindavan, if you want to take that dynamic, and then came Nandotsav, and Krishna was bathed, and all the official celebration in Braj. But the very, very first Abhishek, if you want to take the stance of Krishna being born in Mathura, clouds. They took the opportunity of the first Abhishek. No? And the clouds, they are thinking themselves, oh, how much prestige will go to our community. No? We have the chance of offering the first Abhishek to Krishna. No? So fortunate we are. And therefore, sometimes Acharya said, because of that, clouds are crying, basically, of emotion, and that's what we call rain in Vrindavan. So the gopis continue, just finishing the previous point, no? Where they're appreciating the fortune of the anurag of the clouds. So how much anurag these clouds have, by contrast, we do not have even a tinge of prem. What do you think? Do you believe the gopis? Mahaprabhu will say exactly the same thing. Na prema gandha stidarapinaha haratina. Which means, in me, there is not even the aroma of prem. No, like if you say you have a little box with, example, with camphor, and you take away all the camphor, but still the aroma is there. But Mahaprabhu said, not even that is in me of prem. But if you analyze Mahaprabhu's example, I mean, if he does not have prem, nobody has prem. He is prem Purushottam, the supreme, in the supreme form of prem. So the same with the gopis, the symptom, the paradoxical situation of someone who has love, it means it is I don't have a tinge of that love, which actually only impels them to further obtain higher and higher degrees of that unending love. So the gopis lament in this mood here, we don't have a tinge of prem. And how do we know that? That's their logic. That is why, despite of hearing the Venunad, the sound of the flute, we still remain engaged in useless household activities. In other words, the symptom, we don't have premise, we have not joined Krishna yet. That's the symptom. In their humility, they conclude like that. Alas, alas, in all respects, we are such unfortunate girls. So again, and looking at the clouds, as we mentioned, some possibility will say, and even these clouds, they are not even Brajavasis, they are moved here and there from different areas. Again, the gopis are projecting their bhav constantly. But they have more love than us. We are Brajavasis, we have been born here, we are the same Varna than Krishna. We are gopis, he's a gopa. But the clouds are not conscious entities, are not Brajavasis, they don't belong to Krishna's caste. And despite all that, you see, all that they are doing for him, all that they constantly create these types of contrast. No? All the things that the gopis have, we are Brajavasis, we are born here, we are of his caste, we are conscious entity, human being, same species as Krishna, but we don't have that opportunity that the unconscious clouds are having. Unconscious but full of prem, of course, the gopis acknowledge that. So these clouds are following Krishna everywhere. So this is like, how is it in English? Like the last straw? Like extreme. Like they make these type of examples. No? But again, we have to understand all this is the building of the momentum for the Purva Raga to end. And what is required to basically get Sakshat Darshan and Sakshat Seva of Krishna. Direct Darshan, direct Seva of Krishna. It's not a cheap thing. So this section for us sadhakas also are teaching this. No? So we appreciate all, of course, there are many, most of the the main characters here are Nitya Siddhas, but even if we want to take it like that, they are teaching us what we have to go through if at some point we want to attain eternal union in service with Sri Krishna. How we have to go through different stages of separation. That's why the Bhagavatam is mostly concentrated on separation, in one sense, than in union, and shows all different separations in the different Gitas, at least from the perspective of the gopis I'm speaking here. And on the Bhauma Lila, which is more characterized by separation, Krishna going to Mathura, Krishna going to Dwarka, some other books like Govinda Lilamrita, Krishna Bhavanamrita, you don't hear that much separation. Krishna is there eternally in Golok, Niti Astakaliya Lila. Separation is on a daily basis and few hours, and that's all. But the Bhagavatam is mostly showing the window of opportunity for us sadhakas to enter through the window. We have to advance through separation to know how to deal with the specific separation that belongs to us in this particular stage, so we may be promoted to the corresponding type of union and so on. So, some words we want to share today. We will continue in our next meeting with the turn. We are already almost finishing some four verses we have, I think. Yeah. So next verse will be, the gopis will be addressing the Pulindis, which are the aborigine women of the nearby surrounding areas of the Braj, outskirts of Braj. So let's see, that will be an interesting section. And then will come the famous verse, which Sri Radha, according to our Acharya, speaks the famous verse glorifying Giriraj Govardhan. And then we have one more verse, like wrapping up the whole scene and the concluding verse of the Venu Gita. So we put this discourse to rest here, offering pranam to the song of the gopis, which had the potential to purify the whole of three worlds, praying from here to be sprinkled with some few raindrops of that mercy, Vandinanda Brajasrinam. Padarenuma Bhikshna Saja Samharikatut Gitam Punati Bhuvanatraya. Srila Gurudev ki Jaya, Sriman Mahaprabhu ki Jaya, Sri Harinam Sankirtan ki Jaya, Sri Sri Dauji Gopal ki Jaya, Rantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki Jaya, Sri Venu Gita ki Jaya, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki Jaya, Gaur Priman.